And I do enjoy how every time I got mentioned how long I'd be preaching, it decreased more and more. But I will tell you a trick I learned from your pastor. As long as I'm telling illustration, it doesn't count to my sermon time. And so half of the message tonight is illustration. And so that'll be what it is tonight. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in your Bibles. Thank you to those ladies. I think they left. I think they said, we're singing and we're out of here. But that was a great song. I've never heard that song before. Our church only sings Bob Dylan songs, so we didn't know any of those at all. But man, that was fantastic. And we always love coming up here. Our kids look forward to it. I look forward. We all look forward to it. And we got on the road after our service was last night. And we went from 7 to about 8. And then we ran home. And thankfully, I had packed right before church, because that's how you do it, right? And then got on the road about 8:45. And my head deacon texted me and said, Pastor, I just saw that up in Valencia area, there's a major accident. And so you may be backed up a little bit. A little bit was 2 hours. And so we got in at 4:30 this morning. I'm not even sure if I'm really here. This could be a dream, but I think it's reality. But I'm we had a good day, a restful day, and so thank you for letting me be here. And to be able to preach is always a privilege. I spent my senior year of college here. Many of you probably remember that with fond memories or not so fond memories, but it was great and got to work here. My first taste of real ministry. I feel like I got the blessing at this church, Pastor Ray. And so this church is very dear to me. Brother Steve has not changed one bit in the last 57 years. I think he's a vampire. I'm pretty sure he's immortal and he does not age. But that's just a working theory I have. But God bless you, Brother Steve. We love you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to read one verse to you. Preach for 2.5 minutes now. I think my time is about done. I told someone the only reason I came tonight because I heard you had pie. But I know so. That's waiting, and you know it doesn't help when they're like, the pie's cooling down. You need to hurry. So I'll try to be brief, but I want to give you a thought that helped me recently. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it's a verse you know. You've heard it before, but look what it says there. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Now, let's just pause, because that's a big statement. Amen. Amen. That's a real big statement. Amen. We just glance over that from time to time. But God said in everything. Does that mean in cancer? Does that mean in sorrow? It means all of it. That in everything you go through, there is still a reason to give thanks. Amen. Now why? Why give thanks? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And if you have an analytical mind, as I do, I look at that and say, well, why? Why does God want me to be thankful? I want to preach tonight on what Thanksgiving does for you. Now, we often think about that's just what God wants. God just wants us to be thankful. But the Bible talks about, I think it's the book of Deuteronomy, that when God does something, it's for your good always. Amen. So if God wants you to be thankful, it's not just because he deserves it. It's because he wants you to get something from it. Amen. He has some good in it for you. Amen. But I think that phrase, in everything, give thanks, is quite amazing. Recently, on a Saturday night, well, let me pray first before I get into that. Lord bless, I pray, this message. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Saturday night is when everything goes wrong, right? Nothing goes wrong at 8 a.m. on Monday. If you're going to have something go wrong in the ministry or whatever, it is Saturday at 11:30. That's at night. That's when it goes wrong. For us, my wife was talking to me, and we were getting ready to just about go to bed and get up for church the next morning. This was about 3 weeks ago, and she said, honey, the water's not on. And so I got up, and I walked over there like every man would do, and I turned it on and off. You're right. And so I think, you know, okay, maybe they're working on our street. Let me go outside and see if they're working on the street or something, because I check longbeach.gov and they're not doing anything, and they never really do anything. But I walked out and I looked and there's nobody on the street, but I did notice a miracle. There was this crystal clear geyser coming up out of our yard, and like I think people could touch it and be healed. It was amazing. It was like bubbling out of my front yard and going down to the street. And you know, that was a pretty amazing thing I've never experienced before. And I'm looking at this, and begin to think, well, what's going on here? And I tell my wife, hey, there's like a flood outside here. And, you know, we're looking and everything. And so we start calling plumbers and all that. Now, here's the thing. The guys on the phone, it's amazing to me that we have in Long Beach there. I mean, it's a big city. It's right outside of L.A. If you've been there, it's a big city. And we have many, many 24-hour plumbers who close at 6 p.m. And I think, well, you liars, you know. And so we call all of them and they say, well, just, you know, turn it off to the house or whatever the, you know, so it's not all this. And so I realized at that point when they said, find the water shutoff valve. I've been in that house for 2 years and I've never had to find the water shutoff valve. And so I think, well, where would these things be? You know, and so I began to go look for it in all the places that were probably obvious where it would be, and could not find it anywhere. And so they said on the phone, well, if you can't find it, you can always call the fire department. I'm a grown man. I am not calling the fire department. So I go outside. My wife's still calling plumbers, and they're like, we ain't coming out. It's 11:30 at night. What are you talking about? And, you know, these 24-hour plumbers, of course. And so I go around the side of our house, and I'm looking, and there's a water heater there, so I'm looking, and I come to turn around to go walk back, and greeting me about 4 feet away was the biggest skunk I've ever seen in my life. And I'm looking at this thing, and he's looking at me, and that music from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly starts playing, and we're staring at one another, and all of a sudden, I mean, I make some kind of noise that I'm not really proud of, you know, or some weird noise came out of my mouth, and I was a little ashamed of it. Thankfully, no one heard it. And then the skunk darts under my house, because the front part is raised elevation, the back is cement. And that's when I realized, we have a skunk living under our house. It's full of revelations this evening. And so it's now midnight, and I'm like, this is, and I remember, okay, out by the street, you know, because our house is very long, very narrow, and our neighbors are like right there next to us. And I'm thinking, out by the street, there's this little thing you pull up, and there's got to be a water shutoff valve there, right? I mean, that's the one from the city to us. If I shut that off, we're good. And so I go out there, and I pull it off, and I look down in there. I got my flashlight. It's midnight in Long Beach. And there's a black widow spider right on top of it. And I'm laughing. I'm like, what is going on right now? And so I'm taking a wrench. And can you imagine like driving down the street at 12 o'clock in the morning and seeing a guy just like hammering the ground with a wrench? I mean, it was this, and I've got a baseball bat next to me in case the skunk tries to sneak up on me. Now, think about this. Think about this with me. If you get sprayed by a skunk and you go to church the next day because you don't have water, everyone wears the same cologne that day. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all walking out smelling like skunk. Okay? Now, in Long Beach, we can disguise it as marijuana, but, you know, I don't know about up here. Most of my deacons smell like marijuana, so they wouldn't probably even notice, but up here, you know. And so this whole thing is going on. And so finally I walk back inside and I could not budge that city thing. I tried with all my heart. You know, apparently there's an entire tool that you stick down in there and like takes grown men to move. And I'm sitting down in there with a little crescent wrench this big, cranking it, you know, looking for a spider and a skunk and all this. I go into the garage to grab something, twist my knee. I thought, I just tore my ACL. I'm out 9 months now, okay? No more pro career for me. I'm done now. And so I'm limping, and my wife's like, what is going on? I'm like, it's going to be okay. You know what I'm telling myself? It's going to be okay. And I'm walking out. And so finally I say, call the fire department now. So it's 12:30 in the morning. And I thought, there's one right on the street. So I thought, they're going to send a dude out, you know, with the little thingy, and he's going to turn it. It'll be embarrassing. But that's it. They didn't send a little truck. They sent the big truck. On my street, lights blaring like blinding people, seizures happening because of this. Four grown men jump out of this thing and all come over there, stand around like this. Yeah, it is. Look at it. It's bubbling. I'm like, yeah, it is. Fix it. Why do you think I called? You know, and so we're all standing around and they're just like, yeah, it's rough. Well, tell, you know, what's going on inside the house? And all I'm thinking is, dude, just turn it. Just turn it and let me go to bed, man. And so it was fun. We had a good time. And, you know, we go back into the house, and the next day we finally got someone to come back out. and fix it. They had to dig up our entire front yard. And the guy looks at it and goes, I can do that for you for $3,800. And he's the only guy who would come out. So it's Sunday. We need water. And so there we are paying $3,800 to get this fixed. It was amazing. Good times. Good times. Always happens at nighttime. Am I supposed to give thanks in that? In the midst of that? Am I supposed to give thanks? And the truth is yes. Yes, I am. Because here's a lot of things. For one, it could have been worse. Could have been in my house and my walls. It could have caused a lot more damage. There could have been injuries. There's so much more that could have happened. To think that we have first world problems like running water that may be out for a couple hours. Brother Steve, you want to tell us a little bit about that? And it's like, oh man, we don't have running water. If I don't have some hot water in the next 5 hours, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You know, that's not a problem that the other parts of the world have. And you think about, there's so much to be thankful for. I've still got 4 kids in my house safely sleeping and healthy. And there's so much to be thankful for. Years ago, my son Silas, our youngest son, was walking back and forth on the couch. And remember, this is all illustration, so this doesn't count to preaching time at all. And so that's what's great about this for me. And he fell while walking on the couch after, again, late at night after church, and he broke his arm on the couch. I mean, he didn't fall off the couch, he was on the couch. And I turned him over, I said, what's wrong, buddy? And he was like, ugh. He lifted an arm up, and it was like out, down, up, and back out. He snapped it in two. And I was, we're going to the hospital. We go to the hospital, and they fix us up. We're there for hours and hours at a time. But you know what? In everything, give thanks. How? How? Could have been a lot worse. Could have been his neck. Could have been on a growth plate. We were in America where there are actual good hospitals. When you begin to look at it, Thanksgiving does some stuff for you. And here's what I want to just give you 3 quick thoughts tonight. What does Thanksgiving do for you? Why does God say in everything for you to give thanks? Is it just for him? Is it just his benefit? Is he just saying, hey, you ought to be thankful and it's a command, so be thankful? No. I think God wants you to give thanks because it does something for you. Now, here it is. What does it do? First of all, it provides the right mindset. It provides the right mindset. Because if you're going to be thankful for something, you know what you have to do first? You got to think about it. How can you be thankful for something you're not thinking about? Because to express gratitude, to express thanks, to give thanks, requires that you take some time to think about it first. And so what it does for you is if you say, well, you know what? I'm going to be a thankful person. Lord, I'm thankful. These songs that we're singing, you actually have to think in order to do that. David said, one of my favorite verses in Psalm 8:3-4, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. That's an attitude David had. An attitude of, God, why are you so good to me? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why are you so good to me, God? So what thankfulness does is it puts us in the right mindset. Our default mindset is, I want more. I want more. I want more. You say, well, that's not true. 2 words, Black Friday. In 2 days from now, people will be trampled at your local Walmart over here to save $10 on a kitchen utensil that they will never use. Oh, we got one of those little robot vacuum things, you know. It's normally $199. We got it for $195. You know, it's like, but I killed 7 people to get it, but it was worth. We want more, but thankfulness says, you know what? If I'm going to be a thankful person, and if I'm going to give thanks, if I'm going to express that, that means I've got to stop and think. And what it does for me is it changes my whole mindset. Whatsoever things are lovely and pure and honest and just and of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because it helps you. Amen. That gives you joy. It gives joy into your life when you're thinking about how good you have it. It provides the right mindset. But you know what Thanksgiving also does? It precedes good prayers. We read Psalm 100 just a minute ago when it says, you know, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And if you read that psalm, it reads like people that are going from the outside of the tabernacle to the inside. And as they're progressing through that, they're getting closer and closer to what was the Holy of Holies and a place where a high priest would go in and commune with God and talk to God. And in those days, you had to have someone talk to God for you, right? You had to have someone go to God in your place, offer sacrifice and such. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know that veil was rent in twain. And you know that we have direct access to God. And let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we can go right to God in prayer. And that's a wonderful privilege of salvation. But you know how you got there in Psalm 100? You entered into that with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. What does that mean? That means before you can actually have a good prayer life, there's got to be some thanksgiving and some praise. What word is repeated more times in the Bible than any other? Praise. I know the and for are probably above it, but what action, what command? The command given more times in the Bible is praise. Praise ye the Lord. Sometimes our prayers, if we're honest, they're just complaints. They're just complaints. We're just going to God, I do this, and sometimes I'm whiny, and God, what's going on here? And oh, God, help me here, and what's this? But you know what happens when I go back and I start praising God first? What was Paul and Silas doing in the prison? I'm just so sorry. This is horrible. Look at my feet. They were singing and praising God and praying, and people heard it, and a difference was made. It starts with the thanksgiving. If you're going to go to God and you want to have a great prayer life, let me tell you how it's going to get real good and how you're going to come before God and you're going to be like in tears or just rejoicing and saying, God, I don't want to leave this quiet time I have with you, this sacred time of prayer. How can you get to that? Start with thanksgiving. Amen. Right from the heart, it precedes good prayers. It provides you the right mindset, but I'll say lastly, it produces actions. Amen. It produces actions. Here's the difference, and I'm wrapping up in the next 45 minutes. I'll be done, and we're landing the plane. It's you know how long it takes on the tarmac, though, but we're landing it, and I'm just kidding. I'll be very brief here. You know, right, I'm assuming that we know that gratitude and thanksgiving are different. Now, we may have never thought about this before. Let me just help you briefly with this. Gratitude is different than thanksgiving. You can say, oh, I'm grateful. And you know what? I think every one of you are grateful. I don't think anybody here has an ungrateful heart. I hope you don't. I hope when you go tonight and eat pie that you did not buy. That rhymed pretty amazingly, all right? But you go in there and you eat some pie, and I know that you'll say thank you to those who maybe are serving it or whatever. I'm sure you're grateful. I know you're grateful for your pastor and your staff and your deacons and your Sunday school teachers and security and everybody. I know you're grateful for your family, but you know there's a difference between grateful and thanksgiving. Gratitude is an attitude. Tonight, I'm thankful you're in church, but you know what? I did not give thanks until that moment. I've been grateful this whole time that you came to church and that you didn't leave when your pastor said you could. God bless you. Gratitude is an attitude. Thanksgiving is an action. I can feel gratitude in my heart, but it doesn't become thanksgiving until I give thanks. And thanksgiving means if you are truly giving thanks, it means it's producing action in you, not just attitude. Now, it will help your attitude, but it also is an action that we are supposed to do. You are not giving thanks until you have given thanks. Amen. Until you have given thanks. Someone said feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Who deserves giving thanks this year? Who deserves your thankfulness to be expressed? Maybe it's a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a family member. Maybe it's a boss, another church member, a friend, a police officer, a veteran, active duty military, a firefighter that comes to your house at midnight, doctor, nurse, neighbor, enemy. I don't know who else it could be, but I just wonder today, is there somebody that you are supposed to be giving thanks to? Gratitude is an attitude. Thanksgiving is an action. I want to just encourage you tonight to be thankful because of what it does for you. It provides the right mindset. it precedes prayer. And by the way, why would God give you more if you haven't thanked him for what he already gave you? Right, it precedes prayer and it produces action. But I'll just say this as I close, it also pleases God. It pleases God. Why? Because thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And he deserves it, and it pleases God. So I want to encourage you this week, as you're going through your week, you're going to feel gratitude. I know you're good people. You love the Lord. But can you just take it the next step and say, you know what? No, I'm not just going to feel the gratitude. I'm going to give thanks. And when you take time to do that, you're going to notice your attitude changes, your outlook changes, your joy changes. It's going to make your prayer life better. And it's also going to produce in you the action of actually going to people and saying thank you. And all of that, to me, is something that pleases God. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach and to just to share a quick thought with folks. I hope and pray that it was a blessing and a help.